the will of God and submission, we see that also in the not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well. And so in Islam, submission and the will of God go together, and so is in on our side as well. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wills or desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. But both Islam and Christianity claim that the purpose of our lives is to surrender to God's will. And that's, they will say, submission. Islam, submission to the will of Allah. I already showed you this, that all the message is still the same, all this. We have to submit ourselves. But then the question comes, so what's the difference between Islam and Christianity when it comes to the question of submission? Here is Dr. Zakir Naik, what he says about Islam means submission, but he's bringing the word peace
into it. The word Islam is derived from the Arabic word salam, which means peace. It's also derived from the word silm, which means to submit your will to Almighty God. Islam, in short, means peace acquired by submitting your will to Almighty God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So he's playing with these Arabic words. It's like, you know, you have the word right, R-I-G-H-T. And then in the context, it is used. So it changes its meaning according to the phrase or sentence or context. So he's using that, oh, it means peace, but it also means submission. So the end, he tries to tell you that peace is acquired by submitting yourself to God. Again, that is truthfulness. But how far this goes? So we see in this country there will be places you will find a lot of literature given to people. Islam means submission to the will of God. Oh yes, we as Christians also believe to submit ourselves to the will of God. A Muslim is someone who submits to God's will. There are these. But here is God's will according to the Quran is this. God has sent his apostle Muhammad, in other words, with guidance and true religion, which is Islam, to make it prevail over all. In other words, any theology, any ideology, any philosophy, Islam has to prevail. So when it is said, it's the same message, now let's check it out. And again, I will be repeating some of the things which I already have said. So let's check this. Yes, Islam uses biblical vocabulary, but we see again and again that it has own dictionary and gives its own exposition. Okay, here it is. The Bible declares that Jesus was the last of God's envoy and his message is final. By this time, I have mentioned Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, that you may have kind of like, yes, oh, we know now that in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son. But the Quran declares Muhammad as the final envoy and his message as final in chapter 33. So here is a problem now. So on one hand, we have to submit ourselves to God through Christ. On the other hand, it says, submit yourself to God through Muhammad. So when it comes to similarities between the messages of Jesus and Muhammad, oh yes, both faiths emphasizes that God sent guidance through prophets and scriptures. Yes, that is true. Both emphasize on godly life, prayer, and giving to the poor. Yes. In fact, when you visit some of these mosques, you know, actually, schools provide that when there's the kind of like religious teaching or philosophy teaching or something. So there will be a visit to a mosque, and the imam or a Muslim would talk about similarity between Christianity, between Judaism and Islam, between Christianity and Islam, and they will go to these words actually. So when it comes to mission, both are missionary faith. We talk about evangelism, they talk about dawah, to invite. So I have put all those verses for you there, and it's in your outlines as well. Both Jesus and Muhammad preached submission to God. Their message includes the whole of humanity. So this is the phrase which they use, حقوق الله. So there are these responsibilities towards God, and then حقوق العباد, responsibilities towards people. But when those responsibilities come, this where the detail. You have a saying here in this country, the devil is in that detail written that we need a big glasses to read them. It's like those medicine advertisements on the TV. Muhammad talked about our duties towards God and each other. Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments in just two there, our duty to God and our duty or our love for our neighbor, our love to God and our love to neighbor. Here is something now going the other way. A Muslim is a brother to a Muslim. But Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. In other words, he's also saying that you should be also loving to those who oppose you as well. Is it in Islam? No, only a Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. Yes, you can have friendship with other people, and but there is this intimate relation only with the Muslim. Now, that's again half-truth. We do that as well as believers in Christ, but it does not mean we hate other people. We hate what they do may be offensive to us. But God asks us to still love them. Both talked about obedience and the love of God, but with different perspective. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Muhammad kind of pushed it away and said, if you love Allah, if you say you love Allah, then you will follow me. Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. And so there is this condition there as well. While Jesus never changed his position or teachings, Muhammad did. We already saw how that happened, from peace, tolerance, and patience to coercion and slaughtering people, preaching submission from voluntary to by force. That tells us. I already mentioned this passage as well. There are others as well. So after being involved in several battles against Meccans, Muhammad very soon in his position included the Jews and of Medina and elsewhere in Arabia, followed by Christians with some exceptions. And this was the exception, pay taxes. Or you could be slaughtered as well. I already talked about the peaceful side and the militant side. What about Jesus? Did he order force? Well, here it is. Jesus' instruction to his follower was that if a village or town does not accept, leave. Shake the dust off your feet. Oh yes, there had been, in Europe, even Christians have fought each other. The Catholics and the Protestants have fought battles. But was that the base was the Bible? Not really. No, that was not the case. When Peter used his sword to defend Jesus, he rebuked him. So the contrast comes like this. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. But here in this country, we find these common word thing. It comes from the Quran that all Muslims tell these Christians and Jews that why don't we come together because you believe in God. That's common in between you and me. So let's talk about this. There is a movement going on. They call it the common word, and they talk about the love of God and submission, a question of commonality. So when we look at this, the love of God is limited to the concept of being devoted in submission to Muhammad and to Allah, and then Allah will love you. But we will never know. I mentioned that as well. That was one of my dilemma, that I said, okay, so if this is what is happening, what, when we will learn about that? Well, in Christianity, we see the love of God is relational. Love for God is first and foremost a response to God's love for us. We love because He first loved us. When I started reading that, I was quite surprised. I said, oh, that Islamic dilemma is solved here. For God is love. Oh, yes, He is. He can bring brimstone, fire, and all this because His judgment side is very much ignored by people. Even Jesus was not, you know, people say, oh, He was a lovey-dovey person. Oh, no. He stood for the truth. He never gave in to compromise. And so we should be doing the same. When it comes to question of salvation and assurance, Muhammad taught that a Muslim could earn forgiveness and paradise by fighting for Islam. Here is something from chapter 61. O you who believe, shall I guide you to a trade that will save you from a painful torment? Strive hard and fight in the cause of Allah with your wealth and your lives. And then what will happen? The result will be God will forgive you your sins and admit you into garden under which rivers flow. And so there are other passages as well. So how do you tell that a war is taking place that is for Allah or for God? What about keeping the laws, those five pillars of Islam I mentioned, what about them? If Allah wills, His divine mercy will be granted. Again, it comes to the will of God, if Allah wills. While in the Bible, God's will is that we all should come to Him through Christ. That's God's will. So that they may know you, the eternal God, and Jesus, the mediator whom you sent into this world. John chapter 17 verse 3 clearly mentions that Jesus in His prayer mentioned. So when it comes to all, I already shared this with you. I'm bringing that again. This is the salvation and assurance. Are we talking the same will of God and the way submission should be? Well, if you want to follow the submission in Islam, this is the way you do it. You believe. You continue to follow all the laws and rules and regulation, and perhaps on the day of judgment, Allah will grant you divine mercy and you enter into the paradise of God. The word salvation does appear in the Quran several places, but it's more in a materialistic way. For example, somebody was ill and sick and God rescued him. So the word is salvation there. Noah and his family were rescued. So that's the word salvation, najah. In that way it is used. Here's the biblical equation. You already know, I mentioned it. The divine mercy has already been granted to the world. The only condition is to accept it. And that is through Christ. Believe. And of course, the result is not only salvation, but all the good works now we do, our lives are changed. That is the result of that salvation in us. So, Muhammad, I mentioned already to you, there are a lot of other places, but because this is a beginner type of course which I teach, I have not gone into a lot of details. It's not intermediate or advanced. There are kind of like seminars on the advanced study as well. But this is why I'm going back to what we already learned yesterday. Muhammad says, I do not know what will happen to me or to you. But Jesus says, believe in me and you will have eternal life. See, here is Jesus. He is sure. So much so that He says, I know where I come from. I know where I'm going. Believe in me and you will have eternal life. Muslims believe in the resurrection one day, that this will happen. And yet Jesus says, I am the resurrection. What a claim. And so you know, one starts thinking, aren't we believing in the same will of God and purpose, same submission? Not really. And here is another big thing, that Islam is totally different. It comes from a different God, if they believe. They claim that they say it's the same God, but you and I cannot do that. Why? Because otherwise, the whole message of the Old Testament and the New Testament would be in a messy situation. Does God forget? Then that gives you a clear idea that here is someone else who pretends to be God is bringing all this to astray people and thinking that you would think that it's the same God. No, it is not. Yes, there are Christians, Arabic-speaking Christians, who are using the word Allah for God, but that does not mean that they do not believe that Allah is our Father. It's the term which they use, their vocabulary is totally different than the Muslims. And for that purpose, there are Christians in the Middle East, even in Saudi Arabia. I met so many Bedouin who are Christians. They believe in Jesus as the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Son of God. And they use the word Isa al-Masih. They say, oh, this comes from Syriac old stuff. And so, but they refer to Jesus of the Bible, not of the Quran. So using that term, but there is a different vocabulary. And you can see, I literally showed you that how it's possible that if it's the same God, how was he forgetting all these? Something very important. Why he changed his mind? Was there something else happening? And that something else is, we are told in the Bible clearly that Satan not only masquerades as a lion to catch and make that roaring lion after he had caught, but also masquerades like angel of light. And that's what I see. Why this angel Gabriel changes his mind, gives a different type of message. Why this God gives a different message and ignores something very important in the past he gave and does not give a reason for it. So this is my observation. I want to share this with you. When people follow what Jesus commands, they become more loving and kind even to those who hate them. I've seen this again and again in the past 40, 50 years. But in contrast, a Muslim is always in danger to follow the violent passages of the Quran and Muhammad's military life, hating Jews and Christians. And so much so that he will start even hating his own people who may have a very different understanding of Islam as not as him. So they will kind of attack them. Oh, you disagree with me. But here is a Christian who used to do all the hateful thing. Now he becomes more loving and kind. So whose instructions are better for a truly peaceful society? There are Muslims who say, oh, well, Islam presents all this. Well, here we are. Where Muhammad says, Allah love those who kill for him, Jesus says, do to others as you would have them do to you. So, again, coming to this area again, that we have to really share the gospel. How can we expect from people who have no measurement, no standard of the truth? They say, oh, look at them, they are doing this thing. But they don't know that there is another way, which is the real way. And so for that reason, I have to say here, the need to surrender to God's will has always been central. We have to share this with our Muslim friend. Abraham, he surrendered himself to God by leaving his people, going to another land, obeying what God has. Yes, there were times he did quite a few strange things. It shows you the humanity, the fallen state of mankind. However, he submitted himself to God. So much so when you read letter to the Hebrews, he is in the hall of faith. Yes, of course, you can say the hall of fame as well, but it is there. Moses, he could have lived an easy life in the palaces of Egypt, yet unwillingly and making a lot of excuses like I do to my wife sometime. Oh no, I don't feel it this way. He did the same, but he asked for Aaron. Aaron was given an assistant and all this was happening. But then Moses stood up and gave in, submitted himself. There are other prophets as well. What about Jesus? He, at the last moment, said the same thing. Again, not my will, but your will be done. And we have to, you talk about submission? Here are the greatest examples we have. Actually, we have written a leaflet called The Story of Submission. It's among the 14. That the submission story mentioned in the Bible is much greater value to heed to. And this is what Jesus expects from us. Follow me. The submission to God the Father is through Jesus, not through Islam, or not just directly to God. But even Jesus clearly says, no one can come to the Father but only through me. Well, you say that's strange. That's up to you. But that's what I pin it on the scripture. If you have problem, you have problem with the scripture. Now, if you say the scripture is corrupted and all this, let's talk about that, the integrity. But once the integrity of the scripture is established in your mind, then you have no turning back. See, you have to come to a realization somewhere. So here is what Jesus said about the will of God. I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. When I, as a Muslim, as a young man, I read this and I compared this with Muhammad, who said, I don't know what will happen to me or to you. What a challenge. What type of insurance policy you will get here? This is what is happening. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son, see, he's not saying just look to the Father. Look to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Here, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. What is the will of God? That we all may come. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. As Paul said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And you and I already know his will is that whoever believes in Jesus will have eternal life. So here is for you something that to think about, my Muslim friend, and also for us. Would we follow Muhammad's example of submitting himself to God and his will, or we follow Jesus who submitted himself to the will of God? The will of God was that he be crucified, he die, and be resurrected, and be victorious against that sin who brought death, and that death, that its sting should be lost. And through him, we receive that victory. That is what it's all about. Well, I purposely made that smaller so you could ask me more questions, and then, of course, we will stop at 12 o'clock and we will have, you will announce what the arrangements will be. But I'm open to any questions. Yes, sir.
Can you explain the origin
Yes, that I'm not saying that you told him. Yes. Before I answer that, there are people, oh, so the Spirit of God who is in you is in him too. However, that can be used in the wrong direction. I had one student, he had copied certain things from something, and I said, I have read this somewhere before. And of course, I found it, and I said, this is not a good idea. Yes, you could have done that, but at least gave a reference where you got it. And he turned around and he said, oh, now I know. So if that is your statement you had given some time ago, oh, praise God. The Spirit of God who is in you is also in me. Anyhow, but yes. So what is the difference and what is it the same God? I already mentioned to you practically showing that it is not. When we look into the history of it, the Arabs have been had given this title, Allah, to the moon god. And in Arabic, moon is not feminine, it is masculine. Sun is feminine, that's the way it is was seen. And so there is these two gods, and one, there is the god, and then he has a wife, and then the angels are children. So then a time came that the reference shifted from the moon god and the sun god to a god who existed, which was actually before, because even Ishmael knew about it. So there was this idea, and the connection with the Israelite was there somehow. So yes, there is this unknown God, but to worship him, we relate to these. And these angels and these stars are actually a representation of his daughters and his children. If you go back to the history, whatever is available to us, and the ruins which Saudi Arabia does not allow to be dug, but whatever has been found, there are tablets which have been found, that there is someone sitting, and there is a kind of like a crescent moon, and they say that's the representation of God sitting on his throne. And then there are these daughters around him, that who are the representation, those are the angels. So there, that is the idea. This was. So when Muhammad came to tell them to believe in God, God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he still used the same word Allah, because that was, it's like Hindus who become Christian, they still use the word Bhagwan. But now the word Bhagwan refers to God the Father in their minds. See, the understanding is totally changed. But because that is the term they have been using, now the vocabulary is there, but the dictionary is totally changed. So he changed the dictionary for them to say, oh, you can still call him Allah. Some Muslims nowadays are saying, oh, the word Allah comes from Elohim, Allah, which is actually not, because Arabic has a very different way of spelling and connotations as Hebrew language is. It doesn't, but they try to tell. But then when we second area, we say that it is always a different understanding about this God. So Muhammad rejected the idea of God as our Father and Jesus as the Son of God, or having we being adopted children, because, you know, once bitten, twice shy. So he did not like the idea of the pagan Arabs, and for that reason, he also rejected the idea or the doctrine of being God our Father and Jesus being the Son of God, and we as adopted children of God. So these people believed that these 360 idols were kind of, and there were more representations of God and goddesses. And there were certain angels who were the representation. So there is the angels and all those that if you pray to them, they will also help you in certain things. Then there were people that they not only believed in angels, but also in the spirits, whom we call demon. They call them jinns and genies, that these jinns will do certain things. So Muhammad also incorporated those things that, yes, jinns are bad, and there are some which are good. The bad are many, but others are. And there are, yes, there are jinns and genies who are Christians, and there are jinns and genies who are have become Jewish and Muslim, believing in the Torah and all this. So these were some of the ideas introduced by him. But again, when we look at it, that if it is the same God on the practical side, why he's different in his presentation of the salvation of mankind, why it does not fit with the Bible. And that gives me the idea what Muhammad was doing. He was incorporating things, taking something from Judaism, some things from Christianity, from Arabism, and bringing it together. In the beginning, he asked people to face in the direction of Jerusalem to pray five times a day. But then when the Jewish people around him did not want to believe in him, he said, and it's in the Quran, that now change your direction towards Mecca. He was in Medina, so now the change direction, not to Jerusalem, but in your prayer, the direction should be towards Mecca. And all Muslims, wherever they may be, they perform their prayer in the direction. Now, it was at that time when Mecca was still under the control of those Arab infidels or pagan Arabs. They still had all those idols there. And Muhammad said, now you have to worship God in the direction of Mecca, because it was Abraham and Ishmael who built this Kaaba, this temple of God. But later on, people put these idols in it. So when he conquered, he took all those idols out and dedicated the place back, saying, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And like in Solomon times, people used to circumambulate Jerusalem. They started doing the same thing. So always Satan brought that kind of lining. You know, like there is a brown strip when there is a big black line put in. And if you look carefully under the magnifying glass, there will be a brownish edge. So it introduced that brownish edge. Who would do that? Why not clearly say yes or no? Why is that it's from the devil? That's what happened. Because to bring you to the truth and yet take you away from the truth. And so masquerading again is the same God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it's not. It's not. And that's what we believe. If you want to know more about it, I dealt with this subject. Don't want to continue in that because a few more questions you can ask. If you go to our website, click on the media, Jesus to Muslim, click on the media. And the very first video is about Allah of Islam versus God of the Bible. And there is a video of 30 minutes you can watch. It will give you more information. Yes. Muslims are quite divided about it, but it says, yes, that is eventually on the Day of Judgment. These angels, one here and this one here, this one writes all the good things and this one writes all the bad things, that on the Day of Judgment will be brought up as, so it's like a scale system, a credit card, debit card system here. You know, so whichever weight is higher according to that. But then again, it becomes quite a messy situation. If you want to know more about this, I have written something in the book, Jesus or Muhammad, A Question of Assurances, can tell that there are various ideas about. But no, not in this life we will know that I have loved this God by keeping all these commandments so much that now I'm in the safe zone. I used to ask this question when I was doing my degree. I would say, so when is it that I am saying, okay, for 5 years, 10 years, and they would say, we do not know all your life. In fact, Muhammad has been mentioned to have said, and again, that by your works you will not enter into the paradise of God, but by God's grace and mercy. So there is no a problem. Yes, I'm loving this God by keeping the commandments, but the question is, what is happening? Again, it becomes a questionable thing. Muhammad said that people's action depends on the heart. Very good. That if your heart is not in line with God and you just keep all those commandments and your heart is not, you just a tick mark, it's wrong. So you see, there are these thin lines that are sometime Muhammad will say something so good, and on the other hand, he will take that assurance away from you. And say, what is happening? Why this confusion? Why this confusion? So, yes, Muslim, at the end, they will say, inshallah, if God wills.
So they have absolutely no peace?
Like, no peace. No. No. Yes.
No.
Yes. Muhammad was not sure for that. In fact, one of his, I will say, his second successor, on the deathbed, Umar, his name was, he said that I'm not sure where I'm going. And he said, the reason is that I'm not at peace because God, and the way he says those words, it can be translated in both directions. It could be says that God is aloof, and it could be that God can deceive me. That was not enough. You go to hell. What would I do? And so one starts thinking, wait a minute. So why a Muslim is in this? But then they say, oh, God is, after all, God. He desires that way. So he keeps it that way so that we will not be sure of it and be afraid and scary of it and keep praying to him and keep being in obedience to him, so on that day we will be.
So that's almost like predestination.
Yes, but again, the predestination becomes a problem. That became a problem for me, that if God has already decided who will go to, and the God of Islam does mention, in fact, when he created Adam, Muhammad said, he put his right hand, God put his right hand on the right side of the shoulder. I don't know what type of medical things you can learn from it. He said, from this side of you will be born those children and children of children who will do good things. And thus, I have declared that they will go into the paradise of mine. And then God put his left hand on this side and said, Adam, from this side of your, there will be a progeny who will be doing bad things I have decreed, and they will go into hell, into Jahannam or Gehenna. And so here's the question. Then why he was sending all this guidance and these prophets? Oh, well, after all, he's God. So at the end of the day, all these commentators, even when they write these commentaries, they will say, this means this, this means this, this means this. And then at the end they will say, and the rest, God knows. We submit ourselves to God. We are for him, and to him we return. See, half truth, half mixture. There is the confusion, and they're leaving that confusion to God. Something very good for the taking, but there are other things bad. And you and I know that that type of confusion makes things very, very difficult, very, very difficult. But when it comes to the salvation story, I don't like the word story nowadays. It's the word story is kind of like mythological way. But the story of Jesus as mentioned and the story of redemption is so clear, so simple, so understandable from Genesis to Revelation. And that's why the enemy always attacked the scripture again and again, again and again. And yet so many hammers have been broken on this Bible and it still stands. And people's own lives have been changed and it gives the evidence for it, the practical evidence for it, that yes, you want peace? Here is peace. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I answered my own question when I thought about it, but I was just wondering, the Muslim faith is becoming so infectious in this country, even. And what is it about it that people are, then I thought, well, it's Satan, right? I mean, Satan's behind the whole scheme of things, but it's like, it's almost becoming increasing more than Christianity itself in this country.
Yes, he's trying to catch up with that. We do see. But again, our responsibility is to share the gospel. Again, the increase of evilness, including all these isms and other, that's also an evidence that our faith should more grow in Christ, actually. In itself, it tells us that in the last days, these things will happen. Because Satan knows that a sort of people don't like very much the no-God theory. Oh yeah, we face atheism, but in fact, when you say atheism is also a kind of belief system. There was nothing and there was something. And we starts with God, and then all those something comes, released from him. Well, there are people who do not because they themselves put in the seat of God there. The little I am then tells the greater I am. I am the one. I am God. And so that's what's happening. So there is no such thing really atheism. And that's what that all that confusion, whatever Satan can get, this is what is happening. Especially this new idea to bring everybody, globalization, into like one religion, one order, all this. They may not call it religion, but that could be. So for the time being, it could be Islam could be used. Tomorrow it could be used something else or a very different amalgamation. You know, like when two cultures get together, a third culture comes out. So they even think that when all these mixtures are together, so, okay, today we will call it Chrislam, but tomorrow it will be something else. Today we'll call it Judeo-Christian heritage, but once you bring all these other philosophies from other world and bring all the amalgamation of it, what will come out of it? Perhaps that will be followed. Oh, yes, Christians are accused as terrorists, yes. Yeah, it puzzles me too. But yes, even Jesus was accused of it and rebellious and so on. Yes, sir.
Just a few questions. I currently teach the Bible in a prison, and what I've found is that the weakest people that know the Bible the least are the ones that are being selected by Islam, those of Islam, and drawing them away.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No. No, but you can take certain things from the Quran and say, what is God doing? God does not lie. God does not deceive. He does not deceive. Although he has been accused even in the Old Testament, God, you deceived me. A prophet becomes angry, but then he goes into asking for forgiveness another. But the Quran at one place says about the situation of the crucifixion of Christ, and it says, they tried to deceive God, but then God deceived them, and God is the deceivers of the deceiver, the greatest deceiver. So that's the word. And also other places that that certain people did certain things wrong, so God also did something wrong to them. And that word wrong is also in the word deception is used. So these are some of the references. I don't use it very much because my area is to share with them the hope in Christ. So I just, that let them decide themselves. And just by referring to references like that, if it is the same God, does God forget these things? That on one hand, the Quran says God's words cannot be changed. And then you as a Muslim say, oh, the Torah and the Gospels are corrupted. How is it possible? On one hand, God says, let the people of the Gospel judge by what is revealed in it. And then you go and tell, the Bible is corrupted. When was it corrupted? How can these Christians and Jews follow their scripture, which this God in the Quran orders them to study? How can they do that? And then a Muslim, which was my dilemma, that as a Muslim, the scripture, there is an exposition of faith in chapter 3 of the Quran, verse 84, that I believe in whatever Moses brought and Jesus brought, and I do not make any distinction among them. I said, but I do make a distinction. I say that the Bible is corrupted. Whatever Jesus brought and Moses brought, they are corrupted, and yet the Quran is not corrupted. Isn't that a distinction, making a distinction? It is. So what is it? Is it the same God we are talking? Why would he say first the seal of approval, the final Jesus, and then changes his mind and brings Muhammad on the scene? How is that possible? And then they realize that, oh, there is something going on. Some people may not know. So I leave those very, very controversial issues. For example, the situation of the paradise of God. What type of paradise it will be? You know and I know what Paul said. God has prepared for us things which are unimaginable. Even John had a problem to explain it to us. He could not find words about it. But the only thing which I like very much, that God's camp will be among people. I remember back in the, towards the end of the 80s, BBC used to, British Broadcasting, the local Manchester one in the Northwest in England, had this program called Faith in the City, F-A-I-T-H, faith, not fake, Faith in the City. And media loves controversy, so they will invite me and ask me. And one of the questions from a Muslim, the Christian aspects of paradise is totally vague. It doesn't say anything. And you know, I just read from Revelation, towards the end of Revelation there, and I said, it says that God's camp will be among his people and he will wipe their tears. God who created this whole universe, do you think that he will be living there in the mud houses, the shanty town or something? We will be in his presence. If you are with your lover, with your you know, no matter whether there is rain or all this thing, you are holding your hands with, and in this case, God, the creator, we will be. So you are thinking, what type of paradise? I don't care about that paradise. I care about whom, who created me and to be in his fellowship. I don't care about the surrounding. Have you seen when two people are in love and how they are sitting there on the bench, whatever goes on, all the the things, they are so much kind of like, they love talking to each other and all this. And then something happens in their lives later on. Anyway, so when I mentioned that, of course, even the moderator was quite happy about it. because I didn't want to go into that detail to make it a controversial issue. Okay, you wanted to ask a question? You raised your hand.
Is obviously Islam is violent, like communism, like Marxism, like all these things, and it confirms revelation in what is going to be happening. You know, Sodom, the end days will be like Noah, where, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, all those wicked things that were happening in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah that God had to punish and destroy, well, the same thing is going to happen in the end. So this is all confirmation of our spirit, of our word of God, that the evil things are coming into the forefront. So, you know, I understand you want to hold on to America's, you know, heritage of being a godly nation, which we all do in our hearts, but God is in control and you know, these things are just going to happen. And we just need to be faithful where we've been placed as the body of Christ to, like Stephen said, to share the gospel. My slogan is, each one reach one. If each one in the body of Christ would reach one Muslim, the rewards we'll get from the Lord for being faithful servants to the Lord to share the gospel with these lost people. And you know what? I'm out of the American culture, and I was lied to in the American culture about how life should be. When I came to Christ and really started following Christ, I realized, wow, I was lied to all my life. These Muslims have been lied to all of their lives from the 7th century. I feel compassion for them that they're so brainwashed to believe all these lies, and we have the truth. Why are we not sharing it with them out of the love of our heart, out of loving our enemy, and you know, when you hear Stephen's testimony on Sunday, you want to bring everybody you know to come to hear his testimony, because he's still here today. Because no matter what a Muslim says they're going to do to you, what their Quran says to do to Christians, they want to kill us. They're not in control. God is. So unless he allows that to happen, and then there will be many saved, I'm sure, when it does happen to people. All those, I don't know if you know that all those people, guys in the orange jumpsuits that were on the beach, you know, that the ISIS beheaded each one of them, they ask them, you know, do you believe in Jesus? Renounce Jesus. If they don't renounce Jesus, get the head cut off. Do you know that the 21st one was a Muslim? But he became a follower of Jesus at the end and said, no, I believe in Jesus. If they're willing to get their head cut off for Jesus, then there's something more than what I have in Islam. You know, and he knew that. So, you know, this is our testimony by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that's all we need to focus on. You know, this is all just to make you aware of what they've been taught to get you to feel compassion for people have been lied to. And they're dying in the name of jihad, like on 9/11. That was my compelling question on 9/11. How could they kill themselves and really believe that they were going to go to paradise? And I couldn't imagine that in my own little Maine American mind. But God sent me the answer that I would learn from my husband why they did that. And he could have been one of them. He had two brothers who did that to themselves. You know? I mean, and they thought they went to paradise. They're in hell. How sad. You know, that's what I think. How sad that they're dying and killing others without knowing Jesus.
Wow. I promised myself that I will not eat into their lunchtime. But it took 7-8 minutes. Would you please tell them how we will get together by 1:30 again?
Yeah.